Sthaya Sambho devotees. All glories to Lotus Feet of Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There is no Bhagavatam. I have not yet memorized all the verses in the Bhagavatam, so I can't say, oh, got one, Bhakti Brad. Okay, so this is from the first canto of the ninth chapter, text 39, entitled Bhishma's Passing Away. Okay. So generally, when the Bhagavatam is spoken, one's mind should be completely attentive. I notice some devotees fall asleep during the Bhagavatam class, but this is actually an important ingredient in the medicine that we're supposed to take every day. So even though I'm not qualified or pure myself, I'm trying to speak upon what I've read from Prabhupada's books, so the effect is still there. Although the speaker is not pure himself, the transcendental message in itself is pure, so we should try to be attentive as possible. So, as he gets this verse up on the board, there we go. It's Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 39. Vijayarata kutampa atatutra. Vijaya Rata Kutampa Atatatotre Dritta Haya Rashmini Tash Triyekshaniye Bhagavati Ratir Astu Memu Bhagavati Ratir Astu Memu Mashur Yam Iha Niraksha Hetagata Sarupam Vijaya Rata Kutamba Tatatre Tritra Haya Rashmini Taj Triyekshaniye Bhagavati Ratir Astu Me Mamorshur Yam Iha Niriksha Hitagata Sarupam Vijaya Rata Kutamba Atotatre Dritta Haya Rashmini Taj Triyekshane Bhagavati Ratir Asumame Mamushur Yam Iha Nirakshahita Gata Sarupam. Please chant. Montagues. So apparently the screen is frozen, so I will just be going word for word meaning, and you can repeat. Vijaya, Arjuna, Aratha, Chariot, Kutumba, Object of Protection at All Risk, Atatodre, with the whip in the right hand, Drittahaya, controlling the horses. Rashmini. Ropes. Tatshya. Beautifully standing. Ikshaniye. To look at. Bhagavati. Unto the personality of Godhead. Rati astu. Let my attraction be there. Mamorsho. One who is about to die. Yam, unto whom? Iha, in this world. Niriksha, by looking on. Hataha, those who died. Gataha, attained. Swarupam, original form. Translation. At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death. Purport. A pure devotee of the Lord constantly sees the presence of the Lord within himself because of being transcendentally related by loving service. Such a pure devotee cannot forget the Lord for a moment. This is called trance. The mystic, or the yogi, tries to concentrate upon the Supersoul by controlling the senses from all other engagements, and thus he ultimately attains samadhi. A devotee more easily attains samadhi, or trance, by constantly remembering the Lord's personal feature, along with His holy name, fame, pastimes, etc. Therefore, the concentration of the mystic yogi and that of the devotee are not on the same level. The concentration of the mystic is something mechanical, whereas that of the pure devotee is natural and pure love and spontaneous affection. Bhishma Dev was a pure devotee, and as a military marshal, he constantly remembered the battlefield feature of the Lord as Partha Sarathi, the chariot driver of Arjuna. Therefore, the Lord's pastime as Partha Sarathi is also eternal. All the pastimes of the Lord, beginning from his birth at the prison house of Kamsa, up to the Moshala Lila, at the end, all move one after another in all the universes, just as the clock moves from one point to another. And in such pastimes, his associates, like the Pandavas and Bhishma, are constant eternal companions. So Bhishma Dev never forgot the beautiful feature of the Lord as Partha Sarathi, which even Arjuna could not see. Arjuna was behind the beautiful Partha Sarathi, while Bhishma Dev was just in front of the Lord. As far as the military feature of the Lord is concerned, Bhishma Dev observed this with more relish than Arjuna. All the soldiers and persons on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original spiritual form, like the Lord, after their death, because by the causeless mercy of the Lord, they were all able to see Him face to face on that occasion. The conditioned souls rotating in the evolutionary cycle from the aquatics up to the form of Brahma are all in the form of Maya, or the form obtained by one's own actions and awarded by material nature. The material forms of the conditioned souls are all foreign dresses, and when the conditioned soul becomes liberated from the clutches of material energy, he attains his original form. The impersonalist wants to attain the impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Lord, but that is not at all congenial to the living sparks, parts, and parcels of the Lord. Therefore, the impersonalists again fall down and get material forms, which are all false to the spirit soul. A spiritual form like the Lord's, either two-handed or four-handed, is attained by the devotees of the Lord, either in the Vaikunthas or in the Goloka planets. According to the original nature of the soul, this form, which is 100% spiritual, is the Swarup of the living being. And all the living beings who participated on the battlefield of Kurukshetra on both sides attained their Swarup, as confirmed by Bhishma Dev. So Lord Sri Krishna was not only merciful to the Pandavas, but he was also merciful to the other parties, because all of them attained the same result. Bhishma Dev wanted the same facility also, and that was his prayer to the Lord. Although his position as an associate of the Lord is assured in all circumstances, the conclusion is that whoever dies looking on the personality of Godhead within or without attains a sarup, which is the highest perfection of life. Om Agyana Tamandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Vijaya Vrata Kutampa Atota Tre Drita Haya Rashmini Tashri Ekshaniye Bhagavati Ratir Astu Me Mamorshor Yam Iha Niraksha Hatagata Sarupam. At the time of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death. Thank you for coming to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that for those who surrender unto me, everyone in some way surrendering to Krishna in some form or another. So as those who surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So every individual living entity actually has a unique loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And relationships are the basis of all our existence. If we analyze everything we do in this world, and our whole life is based around relationships with other people. If we can just imagine being in a world that's empty, alone, where our heart is desiring some loving reciprocation with another living entity. Just like in the early 2000s, there was a movie that came out called Castaway. And it's about an airplane that went down. It's based on a true story. And everyone in the airplane left their bodies except for one person. And they crashed on an island. So what happened was this person was stuck on an island for many years, I think for about 10 years. And he was living alone. There was nothing else. It's just a deserted island. And he had to basically learn how to create fire. He had to learn how to fish and survive in that situation. But as time goes on, you see through the movie that he is actually going kind of chaotic. His mind is going crazy because he doesn't have anyone to talk to. And then one day, he saw on the shore of the water coming up to the sand, there was a box. And he opened up this box. And in this box was a few objects. One of the objects was a volleyball. And what he didn't really think much of it, but he gathered all the objects thinking that he can use them for survival some way or another. So one day he was going about his business and somehow he cut his hand on something and it was bleeding. And he got angry because he cut his hand and it hurt. So he grabbed the volleyball and he threw it somewhere. And then some hours later he saw the volleyball and it had a big blood-stained mark from the hand. And what he did was, just out of kind of like fun, he drew two eyes on it and a smiley face. And he didn't think much of it. But as time went on, he was developing a relationship with this volleyball because it was the only thing that resembled a person. And it was a Wilson volleyball. That was the name of the brand. So he started calling this ball Wilson, and it became his best friend. So we can see from this example that the living entity is yearning for relationships. That's because our original position is our eternal relationship with Krishna. And Krishna himself, although he is self-sufficient, he doesn't need anything. He doesn't need our service. But at the same time, to increase his own pleasure, he expands himself as innumerable living entities to experience that rasa, or that mood of relationships between other living entities. So the living entities aren't particularly created, because if we use the word create, then it implies that the living entity has a beginning. But the living entity, we learn, is eternal. So the living entity is not created from Krishna, but it's inconceivable how Krishna, we sing every morning, Govindam Adi Purusham. Adi means original, Purusham means person or enjoyer. So Govindam, Govinda, is the original person. So if we say that the word original can also imply that some original object exists before any other subsequent object. But in this case, it's not true because the living entities are eternally expanded. So in one sense, we're also the Adi Purusha. We are also original persons because we're coming from that supreme original person. So this is one of many inconceivable aspects of our Krishna conscious philosophy. As we read through the scriptures, we'll come upon things that, according to our mind and our material intelligence, is very hard to understand. Just like I heard the other day, Devavrata Prabhu was reading a book, and he was explaining how one person was going to visit Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And as he went to his hermitage, where Gaurakishore Das Babaji was chanting and deeply absorbed, this person had this deep moment of clarity and realization that all the inanimate objects that were around the hermitage of Gaurakishore Das Babaji were also chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the rocks and the buildings and the plants, and he had this deep realization. And this actually is clarified in Shastra also, Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is explaining that when you chant the Maha Mantra and there's an echo, it's actually not an echo, it's the chanting of the inanimate objects like rocks and trees. So many inconceivable aspects in our Krishna conscious philosophy. But to get back to the main point, every jiva is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everyone has a unique loving relationship, a loving offering that can't be offered by anyone else. Every individual is very unique in that sense. And we can see in this pastime, Bhishma Dev passing away, Krishna uses his pure devotees to set an example. Just like we read that, you know, at the moment, Bhishma Dev is explaining where he's praying at the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. And he tells what form he likes to concentrate upon. He wants to concentrate his mind on the chariot driver of Arjuna, Partha Sarathi. So in this way, Bhishma Dev is giving us an example to follow and to strive for. It's called Narayana Parayana, or thinking of Lord Narayana or Krishna at the time of leaving the body. And all our sadhana means spiritual practice, all our sadhana from waking up early in the morning, chanting 16 rounds, falling 4 regs, everything we do, worshipping the deity, everything this temple is based around, is ultimately for us to practice what's being spoken of in this verse, that at the moment of death, let my mind be totally fixed on Krishna. So that's it. Also explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that everything, all the rules and regulations, are ultimately to lead us to two primary things, which is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And it also explains in the same book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that someone on the spontaneous platform, sometimes you'll see, is not following strictly all the rules and regulations. Like, for example, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, for example, he's already achieved the goal. He's a pure devotee, and he's completely absorbed in the holy names. So he doesn't necessarily need to go to Mangala Arati to become purified. In fact, if someone were to force him to go to Mangala Arati, it might be a distraction, actually, from his absorption. So someone on a spontaneous platform doesn't really need to follow the rules and regulations strictly, whereas someone on the level as myself and many others here, practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, you know, Mangala Arati and all these rules and regulations are extremely essential to purify our consciousness. So Krishna also explains this in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He tells Arjuna at first that the goal, you should always meditate upon me with all your mind and intelligence constantly. But if you can't do this, then just follow the rules and regulations. And by doing this, you will attain a desire to attain me. But if you can't do this, just try to work for me. And if you can't even do this, then just act in such a way where you're giving up all your activities unto a higher cause, and if possible, to me. And if you can't even do this, then at least try to meditate or cultivate knowledge. So in this way, the Shastra is giving a large variety of chances to accommodate all the conditioned souls to their progress of leading them to this ultimate goal of being completely absorbed in Krishna. And that's also why Vyasadeva himself compiled the 18 Puranas, 6 in the mode of goodness, 6 in the mode of passion, and 6 in the mode of ignorance. And if taken out of context, one might be perplexed, because it seems that in some cases the Shastra is encouraging sense gratification. You know, it's encouraging that you should eat this certain type of animal, it encourages that you should engage in this certain type of deity worship, etc. But all this is ultimately to help every conditioned soul, according to their psychophysical conditioning, to elevate them to a higher stage. Just like if someone was addicted to cigarettes, smoking 20 cigarettes a day, but they came to the conclusion that this is not good for me and I want to try to quit, so they go to a therapist, and the therapist will analyze, you know, his disciple or his student and tell him, instead of smoking 20 cigarettes a day, why don't you try for a month to only smoke 10? So if taken out of context, if someone heard this without understanding the full situation, it would seem that the therapist is encouraging his student to smoke cigarettes. But then after a month goes by, then he says, okay, try to go to 5. After another month, try to go. So ultimately, he's not smoking any cigarettes at all. So that's actually what the Shastra is doing. It's meeting us where we're at and trying to elevate us. Just like the living entity is pure. Originally, just like we're reading, okay, in the abode of Krishna, he has loving relationships, but upon coming down to this material world, he becomes polluted by the three modes of material nature. And the example is also given, just like the cloud has raindrops that are pure from the mountains. And when that raindrop falls, it mixes with things of this earth, you know, dirt and stool and other things. But there's a process of, you know, reverse osmosis and purifying the water to bring it back to its pure stage. So ultimately, the shastras are to elevate someone from ignorance, elevate them to passion, or from passion to goodness, and from goodness to pure goodness. And another example of this is in the 11th canto. It also explains a similar thing, but a little bit more into detail. It says that, like, a man may try to enjoy the company of women, but a religious man might also try to enjoy the company of women, but he does so according to rules and regulations, according to the Varnashram institution. But if one is fully absorbed in spiritual advancement, ultimately he'll give up all sense gratification coming from sexual association, either regulated or illicit. So the goal is to actually even give up the regulative process of controlling the senses and become completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, just like Bhishma Dev is showing here. And similarly, you know, in ordinary sense gratification, someone might prepare a preparation because he likes that preparation and he eats it himself. Whereas a materialistic devotee will make that same preparation but offer it to Krishna. But someone on a more advanced stage will just take whatever will keep his body fit for serving Krishna, as long as it's served to Krishna with love. So in this way we see that on the more neophyte platform, the devotee will engage in activities that he likes and then give them to Krishna. But someone who is striving to become more pure, he will do whatever Krishna wants, whatever the spiritual master is dictating. And in that way, one pleases Krishna the most. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains that any enjoyment in this world, whether it be licit or illicit, is ultimately full of contradictions. So we've analyzed by first understanding that every living entity is an eternal expansion of Krishna. And when the jiva comes to this world, he's contaminated by the three modes. Then there's a process to purify himself, just like the raindrop. And ultimately, to bring us to the verse that we're reading today, to completely be attracted to Sri Krishna with mind, body, and soul, to be attracted to that eternal relationship that is already dormant within our heart. It's just a matter of awakening it. You know, we don't have to look for love outside of what's already within. You know, people are looking for love in so many wrong places, but if they just connect to who they really are. All we're saying in our philosophy is just be yourself. It's a whole other dynamic. So many people say that nowadays. Just be yourself. But we're really saying just be yourself, because who you really are is an eternal servant of Krishna. So in that way, experiencing here, the Lord, it describes how the Lord's pastimes of Partha Sarathi is the form that Bhishma Dev is ultimately attracted to. And it seems like in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining that in these pastimes, his associates like the Pandavas and Bhishma Dev are his constant eternal companions. So it seems to me, I haven't exactly read it, but it kind of indicates here that this is Bhishma Dev's eternal sarup, as Bhishma Dev, as connecting with Partha Sarathi, same with Arjuna and the other Pandavas. I'm pretty sure that's what it seems logically to understand. And it also explains in the purport that Krishna's pastimes are eternally going on. And he gives the example like the hand of a clock, how the hand of a clock will move gradually. So as one pastime of Krishna is going on in one universe, and then it ends, then it's going, the same pastime is going on in another universe. So in the same way, as we speak, there's some sort of battle of Kurukshetra happening as we speak with Partha Sarathi and Bhishma Dev. And if we actually read and analyze what we're reading, the question can come up to our head, come up to our mind, that does this mean, okay, since the Lord simultaneously expands himself in different universes to enjoy pastimes, does this mean that his eternal companions and associates also expand themselves? Because there's a Goloka Vrindavan with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, then there's a replica of Goloka on this earth planet and with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And according to this statement, there's also a Goloka in other universes with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And my conclusion is, yes, to facilitate Krishna's pastimes, the living entities actually do expand themselves as well as Krishna's abodes, and but his pure devotees, his constant associates like Bhishma Dev and the Pandavas. And to back up the statement that I've just made, this is very esoteric understanding, but at the conclusion of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada is explaining how spiritual inspiration comes from the Paramatma, who is within every heart. But not only the Paramatma, with the Paramatma is all of Krishna's devotees and all of Krishna's eternal associates and Krishna's abode. So Krishna is actually within your heart with all his devotees and his associates. And the reason why we can't understand this, we're conditioned to see through earthly eyes. We've been covered over by this prison suit called the material body, where we think we're the controller and the enjoyers of, you know, different molecules and the atoms that are surrounding us, trying to enjoy these energies. But as we purify our consciousness through the process already mentioned, then Krishna can reveal himself to us and give us divine eyes to see these higher subject matters, just like Arjuna in the 11th chapter was given divine eyes to see the universal form of Krishna. So none of what I'm saying is speculation. I can back it up all with Shastra in case anybody is asking. And so to understand, you know, these higher esoteric subjects, they're really far out. And to have realization of this is another thing. But just by reading about it and analyzing with our intelligence, we gain a higher taste. And that higher taste will impel us to chant more intensely. It's like a recycling, it's like a cycle. You know, with the higher taste that we're from reading, then we want to chant more intensely and engage in devotional service. And from doing that, then we want to read more intensely. So the more you get into this sadhana bhakti process, the more our heart becomes purified. And you know, anyone who is initiated should be striving or already on the level of a Madhyama Adhikari, on the intermediate stage of spiritual advancement. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's understanding everything in Krishna's Leela or has deep realization, but he's relishing just reading about it and trying to understand them. So to understand that Krishna is everywhere and he knows everything within all universes, he knows every nook and corner of every universe. His main concern is actually to get the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. And to do this, he actually develops very tricky means to do so. Like in the purport and in the verse, it's explaining how everybody in the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms at death. So they didn't know what they were getting themselves into. You know, these millions of soldiers were going thinking they were going to fight a battle. That was their intentions. But lo and behold, Krishna had a plan all along to get millions of people together. So all these people that left their bodies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra also attained their eternal sarups in the abode of Krishna, according to this statement of the Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's statements in the purports. And another example of this is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Vasudev Dat, pure devotee of Lord Chaitanya, is only asked for one benediction, and that benediction is to have all the sinful reactions of all the living entities within the universe, not only human beings, but every germ, every cockroach, everyone within hell, heaven, or earthly planets, have all their sins come upon me, just so that they can go back home, back to Godhead, even if that means I have to suffer in hell for billions and trillions of births. And of course, Lord Chaitanya was touched by this, because that's his main motive, is to get the living entities back home. But he didn't give the sinful reactions to Vasudev Dat, but rather he said, just by your desire alone, all these living entities are delivered. So in that way, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it also says that everybody in the universe at the time of Lord Chaitanya returned back home, back to Godhead, to attain their eternal sarup. So although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada are not physically present with us, it also states in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada explains how the ISKCON movement is an incarnation of Krishna, and these Sankirtan activities are Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So we can understand that since it's Nitya Lila, that there's also Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are happening in other universes where people are becoming bhaktas and devotees and going through the sadhana stages. So we're getting this extreme mercy of these 10,000 years of the golden age of Lord Chaitanya, which would previously took many years, even many lifetimes, going through the stages I've already mentioned, through gradual process of gradually elevating your mind through different penances and rituals. We're getting, just by taking this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very seriously, and we're skipping this gradual process. It's like taking an elevator instead of, you know, just walking very slowly on the stairs, and we're directly serving Krishna in the form of the deity. We're directly engaging in Harinam Sankirtan, which is Lord Chaitanya's mission. And in The Servant of the Servant by Timal Krishna Goswami, Maharaj explains how Prabhupada was mentioning that anyone who just gives his life to this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, to teach others what Bhishma Dev is teaching us, that at the moment of death, just let your mind and all your attraction be to Sri Krishna. Concentrate your mind on Krishna. So by doing this, Prabhupada says that Lord Chaitanya, at the time of death, will personally come, grab you by the hand, and bring you to the spiritual world. So just as the soldiers in this battlefield were involved in the Lord's pastimes, and all of them died and attained their sarup, so in the same way, we've been given an opportunity to also engage in the Lord's pastimes, so that when we die, we also attain our eternal sarups. And as Bhishma Dev died glorious on the battlefield in a rapt attention on Krishna, if we just dedicate this one life, billions of lifetimes we've been through, trying to enjoy sense gratification in the forms of so many different types of species. You see, it's kind of a joke, you know, when we see like an animal trying to engage in sense gratification, and then we're attracted to the same activity. But this human form of life is an opportunity to die gloriously on the battlefield of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission and go back to the eternal realm. So if there's any questions or comments or constructive criticism, I'd be more than happy to hear. Hare Krishna. Yes, Sachi Tanoi Prabhu.
Thank you. Assuming that that person who fell and ended up being in a lonely place, if he was, just assuming that he was a pure devotee with a high realization, he will be having kirtan, prasadam, festivals, because you said that Krishna within the heart is with all his devotees and all the paraphernalia. So it wouldn't, right? So I'm just saying that instead of being just an ordinary person having to go through all these kind of like games that you were mentioning, painting, putting a face, you know, the face and smiling face and going, you know, finding some entertainment. But if he was a pure devotee, he can be alone anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Even if he's not a pure devotee, you know, someone like myself, or if I was stranded on an island, I think I could be occupied and still be pretty happy. I could chant to all the trees. That would be my preaching. I'd find insects to chant to. And, yeah, all day for chanting and trying to remember the shlokas I remembered. And yeah, but a pure devotee, we can understand that, isn't dependent on association, because he's already connected with Krishna within the heart, like you were saying. So someone on the level, like I mentioned, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, for example, someone on his level is experiencing the pastimes directly, entering into the pastimes. So what to speak of needing another material body to associate with? He's already associating with pure devotees. Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. My question is, how can such a relatively new devotee have so many deep realizations about Krishna consciousness?
Uh, Like I was explaining, I don't have deep realizations. I just read a lot, and I try to analyze the philosophy. I write things down. But also because of the association of pure devotees like yourself and Madhavendrapuri Prabhu and Sachitam, so many great devotees, I try to take advantage of hearing from. And Radhakrishnan Prabhu had a question.
Thank you so much. It was a beautiful class. You brought this point that like within the heart, Krishna and his devotees are there, and you challenged for like if I need the source for it. I would love to hear where does that come from.
If you look at the end of the Antya Lila, at the end of everything, Prabhupada writes concluding words, and he writes about, you know, how his spiritual master instructed him to do this project, and in the middle of that he says, because it comes from inspiration, and inspiration comes from the Paramatma, and the Paramatma is within your heart with all his eternal associates and all his devotees. Nectar of devotion, Bhrigupati Prabhu also pointed out. So, is there anything else? Jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.